Hey everyone, my name is Josh, and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We are so glad that you're here, and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and your family and be a blessing any way that we can. You could also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you are blessed by today's message.
Well, good morning. It's good to be with you. Just have the privilege to open up God's Word together. Again, if I don't know you, my name is Noble, and just truly such a privilege to open up and see what the Lord is doing as we continue in our summer series through the book of Psalms. Before we begin, I wanted to share some updates for those of you who maybe came in through our south entrance. You probably saw a new building inside of our gymnasium. And so what is going on is that we have started our phase one of our new Power of Three. And so some of you may not know what Power of Three is. And so several years ago, when our church had the privilege of being entrusted of going into many prisons throughout Ohio and here in Michigan, an inmate one day sent us his month's worth of earnings while in prison, and it was $3. And so he sent us a $3 check because he wanted to be a part of what the Lord was doing here at the River Church. And so because of just his heart for the Lord and his desire to be a part of the church, of sharing the gospel, we have created this project called the Power of Three across all of our locations. And so you go to the lobbies at majority of our locations and you will see a banner that says Power of Three. And the goal of Power of Three is for us to go above and beyond our giving so that we can help build up and expand our buildings and our properties. And so for us here in Holly, many of you pull up under our awning. That was our last Power of Three that was finished. And so our new Power of Three, if you go over on that side of the gym as you leave, you'll see that we are putting in some bathrooms. And so that will be a facility for two bathrooms and some storage in between. And so we have moved forward on that project. And so our goal is to have that project finished for fall ministry kickoff. And so if you have ever been a part of our Reach basketball or anything on Wednesday night with our students, it's going to be an awesome addition. So that we can have bathrooms on that side, no longer have to go back and forth for bathrooms in different facilities. And it's really going to give us a lot of versatility in there. And so we're about $20,000 short of finishing that phase. And so want to let you know that first off, to celebrate and to say thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness, church, and going above and beyond so that we can continue to improve the facilities that the Lord has given us. And thank you for your prayers. Prayer is so essential. It must be at the foundation of all that we do. And I know many of you have been praying for our Power of Threes, been praying for those projects. And so thank you for that. But I also want to celebrate just us being able to see kind of what has come of those projects and your faithfulness in giving. So thank you for your continued giving in our Power of Three project. It's exciting to see. I wouldn't say run through it now because it's still a construction zone, but go over and check it out at the end. It's super exciting to see what's going on. And then phase two will happen after we get that 20,000 to finish that up. And phase two will be painting the gym. And so we're going to finish painting that up. We're going to be fixing some doors. And also along with phase one, I apologize, I forgot, we're going to be moving our coffee bar and it's going to do 180. Did I do that right, math people? 180, we're gonna turn it and put it against that wall. So that coffee bar is gonna do a 180. And so you're gonna come in and we're gonna have a nice open area there for you to get your coffee and hang out. And so it's really exciting stuff. Just wanted to share that update and say thank you, church. Thank you for your faithfulness in giving, faithfulness in praying. And it's exciting to see as our facility continues to expand, the exciting part is seeing what the Lord will continue to do with this facility, what he will continue to entrust with us as we continue just to try to build it up for his glory and for the gospel. And so this morning, we are going to be in Psalm 136. If you have your Bibles, you can open up there. We are just going to be landing in Psalm 136 this morning. I did want to say thank you to all of you who are praying for me as I went up to high school camp a couple weeks ago in East Jordan at Pleasant Valley Bible Camp. I had the privilege to go up there. And I spoke 10 times to 46 high school students. It was definitely something that I never expected. It took me a bit out of my comfort zone, but it was a really sweet time. I thank you for your prayers. And had a report, you know, all glory to the Lord. One girl who had been attending that camp for over 12 years, she came to know the Lord that week. And so just so incredible to see what the Lord was doing at that camp. Yeah, it was awesome to just see barriers be broken down, to see counselors having intentional one-on-one conversations with these students. It was sweet to just be a part of that. And so I want to thank you for praying for me during that. I did survive, barely, but I survived. And it was a lot of fun hanging out with high school students. So we're going to be in Psalm 136. I want to just open up in prayer, and then we're going to just see what the Lord has for us this morning. So God, we come before you. God, I thank you for this place. I thank you for the construction and seeing so many families coming, Lord, seeing so many kids go to camp, God, and just everything you are doing in this place, Lord. It is all for your glory, and it is all what you are doing, God. And Lord, would you just continue to use this facility for your glory? Would your gospel continue to go forth from this place? May we continue to come here safely, worshiping you, proclaiming you, Lord. May your kingdom continue to grow just through our obedience to your word, Lord. And just would you just use us today as we just open up your word, Father? Would your spirit just continue to reveal things in our hearts, Lord, to just grow closer to you, to be more effective for your gospel, to be more obedient to you, Lord, and just to continue to show your love, to show Christ's love to all those we come in contact with. So God, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Psalm 136, beginning in verse 1, David is writing, and he begins with such an important phrase. He says, "Give thanks to the Lord." Give thanks to the Lord, he declares, "for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever." Now, some of you, you may have a different translation than the ESV. So for majority of what we do through our devotions and our books, we use the ESV as just kind of the translation that we use. But some translations, when we get to this phrase, "his steadfast love endures forever," some of them, like the NIV, says, "his love endures forever." Or the NASB says, "his loving kindness is everlasting." And so looking at that phrase, "the steadfast love endures," when we go back to the Hebrew, it's this word called chesed. Chesed. So C-H-E-S-E-D. And this word translates to an unwavering commitment, an unwavering loyalty, his unwavering mercy. And so we just see that as David is writing this, what he is doing is he is declaring the steadfast love of the Lord. He is using this Hebrew word, which is just so much deeper than our understanding of the word love, because it is an unwavering commitment. The Lord's unwavering commitment, no matter what, no matter what we do, no matter what we say. And as David is going to get into here in a few verses, as he just works through the people of Israel's history, no matter how far astray they went, what do we see? We see that his steadfast love endures forever. In this passage, we have 26 verses. And the phrase, his steadfast love endures forever, is repeated 26 times. And I believe it is because as David is writing this psalm, as he is writing this song, he is reminding the people of what is so important to keep in the forefront of their faith, to keep in the forefront of their walk with the Lord, is that he is steadfast, that he endures, that his love, his mercy, his commitment to us is unwavering no matter what. There are no circumstances in our lives, in this world, that will change his unwavering commitment to you and I, because truly his steadfast love endures forever. And so we continue in Psalm 136, beginning in verse 4. David writes, to him who alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who by understanding made the heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who spread out the earth above the waters, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who made the great lights, for his steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for his steadfast love endures forever. And the moon and the stars to rule over the night, his steadfast love endures forever. So here in verses 4 through verses 9, David is recounting creation. He is looking back to the creation of our world. We go to Genesis chapter 1, the very beginning. And in Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 9, we look at the account of creation. In verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place. Let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called the seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind in the earth. And it was so, and the earth brought forth vegetation and plants yielding seed according to their own kind, and trees bearing fruits in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God said that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the third day. And God said, let there be light in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day and the night, and let them be signs for the seasons and for the days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. And so here, David is looking to the Lord and he is praising God for what? For the beginning, for creation. Just waking up and walking around and saying, my goodness, how blessed are we? How good is the Lord? His faithfulness did not just begin when we were born. His steadfast love did not start simply with the people of Israel. No, his steadfast love for us, his unwavering commitment for us, began at the very beginning, as he provided the earth and the waters and the sun and the vegetation. He was preparing a place for us because of his steadfast love for us. And so David looks back to the very beginning and says, look, look what the Lord has already done. Look what he laid at the foundations of the earth before we were even born, before we even existed. He was already showing his steadfast love and his unwavering commitment to us in creation. How good is he? And for me, I got to be honest, it's one of those things that is so easy to take for granted. And maybe it's something easy to take for granted, certainly these last several days as we've had to be locked down inside because of our air. right? I mean, that's something that I've never experienced in my life. It's like, oh my goodness, it was like maybe a little bit of eeriness, kind of feeling like back in 2020 where we were back down in lockdown. But it's like, wow, I just took for granted the fact that we can breathe fresh air from the Lord, that we can go out and we could just see the sky, that we can see the clouds, that we can see the stars at night that He has created. It was so awesome yesterday being able to go outside and just see down the road, to be able to see the moon, to be able to see the stars and just be like, oh, I missed it. It was just a couple of days, but I missed it. It's like, I just take it for granted. And David is just pointing back to the Lord and like, look at what He's done. Look at His steadfast, everlasting love for us, even before we were born, His unwavering commitment in providing for us because He knew what we would need as His children, as His creation. And so I love, we continue in verses 10 through 16. And here David is recounting the history of Israel in one of their most pinnacle times ever, Egypt. In one of the most pinnacle times of Israel's history, it's during their time in the land of Egypt. And so he begins in verse 10. He says, to Him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, for His steadfast love endures forever, and brought Israel out from among them, for His steadfast love endures forever. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for His love endures forever. To Him who divided the Red Sea in two, for His steadfast love endures forever, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, for His steadfast love endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for His love endures forever. To Him who led His people through the wilderness, for His steadfast love endures forever. And so what is happening here is a recounting of Exodus 1 through Exodus 14. And I think it's important that we don't just open up the psalm and we go through these verses and passages and just say, well, we can look back to creation. Well, let's look at specifically where that is, right? Let's go back to Genesis 1, 9 through 16 and see in God's word where David was pointing back to. And here we are, we have an account of what has gone on with the people of Israel, right? And we can kind of remember these stories, but let's go back and read. And I'm not going to read all of Exodus 1 through 14, all right? Don't worry, guys. I'm not going to keep you here all morning. But in Exodus 1 through 14, we have that account going through the people of Israel. And we remember that as Moses was coming to set his people free at the firstborn, right? If they did not cover their door with the blood of the spotless lamb, that the angel would take the firstborn. And we see those in the land of Egypt crying out and wailing for the loss of their firstborn child. And then we see as the Lord rescued His people and they come to the Red Sea. And what does Moses do? He obediently puts down his staff and the Lord parts the Red Sea for the people of Israel to safely go across, to leave the land that they were slaves, that they were captives. But the Lord didn't stop there and just providing a way for them to safely get across. No, what did He do? Within that Red Sea, He overthrew Pharaoh and his hosts, protecting the people of Israel. Not just saying, hey, I have you. Not just saying, hey, if you just follow me, things will be done and things will be good. No, He showed them His steadfast love, His unwavering commitment to them in miracle after miracle for the people of Israel. And as David is again recounting what the Lord has done in the people of Israel's life, what does he take a break after each and every phrase, every moment? Because really what could happen is if we go back to verse 10, you can read the first line of verse 10. And you can read it in succession. So you can leave out his steadfast love endures forever, and you can read the account of what's gone on. But what happens is that these 26 times, David inserts time after time after time. His steadfast love endures forever. His steadfast love endures forever. And I think David is very intentional in this repetition because he is trying to put it into our hearts, into our minds, the unwavering love of our Heavenly Father. He is trying to remind them, hey, do not forget what the Lord has done. Yeah, first off, he struck down the firstborn so that we could finally be free, so that we would be set free as slaves. He's faithful in that promise. He brought us out of Egypt. He is faithful. He is unwavering. He parted the seas. He is faithful. He is unwavering. He defeated Pharaoh and his army. He is faithful and he is unwavering. Church, if there's one thing that you get from all of this repetition, I hope this morning that it will stir up in your heart a repetition of thankfulness, a repetition of pausing and just saying, Lord, you are so unwavering. You are so faithful. Thank you for your steadfast love in my life. Each and every, not just day, not just every week, not just every month, but every moment of our lives, that he is so steadfast and faithful, and his love for us is unwavering, just as his love for his people, the people of Israel, was unwavering when they were slaves in Egypt and as he brought them out of slavery. And so we continue on in verses 17 through 22. In verses 17 through 22, David is recounting their entrance into the promised land. So we begin in verse 17, to him who struck down great kings, for his steadfast love endures forever. And killed mighty kings, for his steadfast love endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his steadfast love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for his steadfast love endures forever. And gave their land as a heritage, for his steadfast love endures forever. A heritage to Israel, his servant. For his steadfast love endures forever. And so we go to Deuteronomy 6. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 22 through 23, we read, and the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and grievous, against Egypt and against Pharaoh and all his household before our eyes. Right? So recounting, he was just right there in Deuteronomy chapter 6. He's recounting Psalm 136, 10 through 16. Right? And the Lord showed signs great and wondrous and grievous against Egypt and his Pharaoh and all the households before our eyes. And he brought us out from there that he might bring us in and give us the land that he swore to give our fathers. And again, as the people of Israel going into the promised land, and even getting into the promised land, that was a bumpy road, wasn't it? That was a rocky road for them. They had just gotten out of Egypt. They just come across the Red Sea. And then the spies go out. 10 come back, say, it's a no-go, boss. But then 2, Joshua and Caleb, said, we can do it. And so for 40 years, they just say, man, we can't do it. We can't conquer. Lord said it, we could do it. He's shown us signs and wonders, but we can't do it. But his steadfast love endured forever, even in the wilderness. Their sandals didn't wear out, and he provided each and every day food and water. He sustained them yet, even when they said, there's no way we can do what you say we're going to do, Lord. What you promise you're going to give us, we can't do it. guess what? His steadfast love endured forever in the wilderness, and he continued to provide unwavering, faithful love to the people. And so then David recounts here in verses 17 through 22, he's saying, hey, he gave us victory. Look at the mighty kings that we conquered. He still gave us victory. He still gave us these lands. And then we continue here in verse 23. And I think this is a part where David gets real honest. And it just really, he gets so real with the reality of us as humans, reality of our sin, the reality of our disobedience, and just calling it out. And so in verse 23, he says, it is he who remembered us in our low estate, for his steadfast love endures forever. And he rescued us from our foes, for his steadfast love endures forever. And he who gives food to all flesh, for his steadfast love endures forever. And so here in these last three verses, in verses 23 through 25, David is saying, man, even in our worst, he remembered us, he rescued us, and he redeemed us. Even at our worst, we can go back to the book of Judges alone. And it's the continued cycle of sin, the continued cycle of disobedience in the people of Israel's lives. It didn't like magically stop after the wilderness, it continued. And even as they entered in the promised land, their disobedience continued, and they found themselves enslaved yet again to different kings and countries as they were conquered. Why? Because they forgot the steadfast love of the Lord. They took their eyes off of the Lord. They neglected to worship him as the God of God, as the Lord of lords. And so what happens is that they would cry out, right? They would cry out in their low estate. They would cry out as they were being overcome by their foes. And what did the Lord do? He didn't say, you know what? 77 strikes, you're out. All right, you guys just got a bad rap. Like, you're out. It's done. Time out. I'm not helping you. No, time and time again, his steadfast love endures forever. He remembered his people. He rescued his people, and he redeemed them, and he saved them time and time again, just as he does today in 2026 with every single one of us. And then David ends this psalm in the same way he began. He says these words, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. And so we have this beautiful song, this beautiful song of thanksgiving, this song of remembrance, of going through the history of the people of Israel, beginning with thanksgiving, going to the very beginning, going to creation, then seeing his faithfulness in one of the most pinnacle times of Israel's history, in their time in Egypt, in their exile from Egypt. And then his faithfulness in the promised land that he said would be theirs, and he did give to them. And then he continued on through their history, through the book of Judges, and how they continued to neglect and stray from the Lord. So what does this mean for us as we go through this history of the people of Israel? As we read this declaration, for his steadfast love endures forever. Well, first and foremost, if you are sitting here today and you feel that you have strayed too far from the Lord, that you are undeserving of his steadfast, enduring, unwavering, committed love to you, know that he loves you so much. Know that there is nothing that you can do, nothing you can say, that you are too far gone from the loving sacrifice of Jesus Christ. In the very beginning, as God was creating our world, he also created the plan of redemption through his son, Jesus Christ. And that plan of redemption was fulfilled on the cross as Jesus took your sin and my sin, as he said, "Father, it is finished," and they buried him. But as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, on the third day he rose again. And that is the gospel, that Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again victoriously, and he is alive at this very moment. And as John chapter 14 says, as Jesus said to his disciples, as their hearts were troubled, as they were struggling, as they were unsure, Jesus says, "I'm preparing a place for you." And I love Thomas's question, "Lord, how do we know the way? How do we get there?" And Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And so if you are sitting here this morning and you find yourself in that place of saying, "I'm not good enough. I can't be rescued. I can't be redeemed." Know that you can. And all you have to do is simply confess and truly believe that Jesus is your Savior, that you must repent of your sins. Does that mean that you're perfect? Anyone in here perfect? No. Because guess what? You got a pastor who sins. Pastor Caleb's not here, but he would agree with me. He sins, all right? Our whole staff, we're a bunch of sinners. But we're just here to serve a perfect Savior who loves us. And so know that you are not too far gone from the steadfast love of our Heavenly Father through what Jesus Christ has done. Secondly, as I was reading over this passage, I want to challenge you, church, to take some time this week. And over these last several years, you know, Pastor Caleb and I have had such a privilege in being trusted with so many funerals. I sit back and it just blows my mind at, like, the Lord just allowing us to share his gospel with families who we do not know in their time of sorrow, in their time of grief. And one thing I love doing as I talk to those families is they don't know the words to say about their loved one. It can be difficult to get up and share what's going on. And I say, "Hey, write something down. Write down some memories, write down some stories." And several of them trust me in reading that paper. That's such a privilege to read their words about their loved one. And I tell you what, there's something so therapeutic about writing. Nowadays, we live in a world of technology, and maybe it's typing for you, okay? But over these next couple weeks, I want to challenge you to sit down and take some time and write out what the Lord has done in your life. What are some of those low estates in your life where the Lord was faithful? Where his unwavering commitment, his steadfast love to you continued to endure in those valleys in your life? What are some of the hills of times of triumph, of seeing the Red Sea split, of escaping from Pharaoh, of being set free, of conquering land? What are some of those incredible times where you look and thank the Lord for his provision, for his care? For me, I could list off several people in my life in the life of my family that the Lord has used to just bless Haley and I in ways that are just so unexpected. And the only reason that that is true is because the Lord was using those people to continue to show me, to show us his steadfast love. In both the good and the bad. And so I want to challenge you as David is writing out this song of praise, this song of thanksgiving. And I would even say this song of him asking for forgiveness from the Lord as he talks about, he remembered us in our low estate. You rescued us from our foes. There is a forgiveness of him seeking that repentance of saying, I'm sorry for what we did. I'm sorry for when I have gone astray, Lord. But over these next couple weeks, take some time and just write it out, type it out. Look and see what the Lord has done in your life. See how his steadfast love has endured in your life. I think you'll be surprised at times when you didn't even see it. Because I know that there are some valleys in here that didn't make sense at the time. But now as we've gotten out of that valley, we've gotten on the hill, we see what the Lord was doing during that time. And you can look back and you can say, wow, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your unwavering commitment. There were times when wasn't faithful. There was times when I didn't believe it. But your steadfast love endured. Thank you, Lord. And finally, this week, I want to echo the words that David began and ended this psalm with, that we would give thanks to God, that we would truly give him thanks. One of my favorite passages in scripture is 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. And Paul writes, he says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And I love how Paul begins with praise. He begins with rejoice always. Rejoice, why? Because of what Jesus has done. Rejoice that no matter what trials, what tribulations, what struggles may come into your life, know that you can rejoice because Jesus has conquered death, hell, and the grave for you. And no matter what this world does, no matter what hardships, what valleys, what struggles, what opposition comes your way, we can truly rejoice because we have confidence, not in ourselves, not confidence in a church. We have confidence in Jesus Christ, in his death, burial, and resurrection for every single one of us. And then Paul says to pray without ceasing must be at the foundation of all we do. To continue to go to him in prayer, prayerfully seeking him, building that relationship with him. But then what? But then give thanks. Give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks to the Lord for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to him in all circumstances when times are tough, when it doesn't make sense, when it is a struggle, when it hurts, when it seems like the world is closing in, when you can't find the reasons of why, when your hearts are troubled. Give thanks. Why? Because guess what? His steadfast love endures forever, and it will continue to endure in your life. And so we can look back at that account of our lives. We can look back at those moments, maybe that time in Egypt for you, where you went astray and you were bound by the things of this world. And then look as he brought you out of that bondage, out of that slavery into the promised land, and how he has so blessed you. Give thanks and remember his steadfast love endures forever. And so that's my prayer for us. My challenge that you'd simply just take some time this next week. See what the Lord has done. Share it with one another. I would love to hear it. I would love to hear what the Lord has done. There's so many stories and so many experiences in here of those hills and valleys of what the Lord has done. And to see how his steadfast love has endured in your life, in your family's life. Share those with one another. Let's praise the Lord together for that, because he is faithful. He is unwavering. And may we truly give thanks. May we not just say thank you. May we not just come here and share these words of praise and sing aloud on Sunday. May we truly leave this place and give thanks in all circumstances. Not just today, but every single day. And maybe this week you go out and you're like, you know what? Every day you wake up and you read this psalm. Or you're just doing something, you're just singing to the Lord, you just pause and say, man, God, I thank you for your steadfast love endures forever. Because there's importance in repetition. There's importance in keeping it in the forefront of our minds. And that's my prayer, that's our hope for us as a church, that we would continue to be thankful in all circumstances and that we would remember that truly it is only his steadfast love that endures forever. Would you pray with me, church? God, we come before you. Father, I just thank you. God, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your faithfulness in creation, Lord, for your love for us shown in the stars above, God. Father, I thank you for your faithfulness to the people of Israel as it is recounted as we celebrate to see what you have done in their lives, rescuing them from Egypt, bringing them through the wilderness, even through their groaning, Lord, that you continued to be faithful and unwavering in your love. And Father, I thank you for your steadfast, enduring love for each and every one of us. That your plan of redemption was created before we were even born. That you so loved us that you sent your Son. And so, Father, today, for those who have maybe not made that commitment, that you are the Lord of their lives, may they today truly confess Jesus, the Lord of their life. And Father, may we go from this place, may we remember your steadfast love each and every day, not just as we read your scriptures, not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday, not just in growth communities, God, not just during the good times, Lord, but may you bring it to the forefront of our minds, this passage. May you stir up in our heart a remembrance each and every day of your steadfast love that truly endures. When we mess up, when we fail, when we stray away from you, Father, you remain. And God, may we truly pause and give you thanks. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your faithfulness each and every day. May you be glorified. And may you know that we are truly thankful for what you have done and what you continue to do and what you will do. We love you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.